Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Pei Beis. We left off on the second line from the top of daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and we were right in the middle of a discussion about a person who brings Bikurim Misafek. He's not sure whether there's a Chiv of Bikurim or not, and the Gemara was discussing why it is that when it's a Safek, one is Mevi Ve'eno Kore. You bring the Bikurim, but you don't read the Mikra Bikurim. So the first thing we're going to discuss today is why it is that you can't just be Kore. What's wrong with saying Psukim? A person is always encouraged to learn Torah and to say Pesukim from the Torah. What would be the problem? The Gemara is going to have two explanations for that. Then the Gemara is going to give two explanations of a cryptic comment of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that a Baal Dekel, someone who owns a Dekel tree, is not entitled to the Geza, to what grows from the stump of the tree. So the Gemara is not sure exactly what that means. We're going to give two possible explanations. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a comment that Reb Lazar wonders how it is that a lokeach, someone who buys a tree, can be entitled to the area immediately surrounding the tree if he's not even entitled to a derech, to a path, to get to the tree. And that's an important comment because he's making an assumption. He's assuming that one is not entitled to a derech to get to the tree when he buys a tree. Might this reflect on the broader discussion we've had, ha-mocher ba'ayin yafahu mocher, when someone sells you something, are they selling you with a spirit of generosity or not? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about who gets we know that we're going to see that the halacha is that when you purchase a tree, you not only get the tree, you get a little bit of area around the circumference of the tree so you could pick fruits and put it into a basket. That area that you get to be able to pick fruits off of the tree, are you allowed to plant something in that area? Is it mamish yours? Is the mocher, the guy who owns the rest of the field, allowed to plant in that area, just risking the fact that you're going to step all over whatever he plants? Or is nobody allowed to plant in that area? That's going to be the next discussion in the Gemara. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss what someone raised yesterday, which is when we talk about buying three trees that you're entitled to land, how far apart are these trees spaced from each other to assume that you are entitled to the land that's in between them? And that already will carry us into tomorrow's daf, Be'ezras Hashem. So we left off on the second line of daf, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and again we were in the middle of discussing why the notion that if a person has a suffix, whether his peros are chayiv and bikurim, he's mevi bikurim, he brings the bikurim, but ve'eno kore, he doesn't read the parsha of mikra bikurim. Amli ravach b'reid ravavi l'ravashi michti psuki ninhu likri. What's the big deal? These are just psukim. So read the psukim. What would be the downside of reading the psukim? Meaning normally, when it comes to saying a bracha misafek, so you have a risk. If you say the bracha and you aren't chayiv in the mitzvah, you aren't chayiv in that bracha, it's a bracha levatala. But this isn't a bracha. It's psukim. It's havas bikurim that goes where you just read psukim. There's nothing ever wrong with reading psukim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Lei, Mishum de Mechzi Keshikra. There is something wrong with it, and that is that it's Mechzi Keshikra, that it looks like you're telling a lie. Because when you read these psukim, you're saying that I have taken these fruits from my land. And if you don't have land, it looks like you're telling a lie. But wait, does that mean that I'm never allowed to lay those psukim in the Torah? If I don't own land in Eretz Yisrael, I should skip those psukim during Kriyas HaTorah? I'm never allowed to learn those psukim? So the Rashbam says, no, it's all about context. Says the Rashbam, Mishum demechzi kishikra, shari bishvil havas bikurim kakari. You're clearly reading over here for the sake of the mikra bikurim. Vishem alav bekarka shalogodo, and these fruits may not have grown in your land. Vekamishaker, and that's why it looks like a lie. Uksiv, dover shkarim lo yukon lenegedeinai. Interestingly, the Rashbam quotes, in order to emphasize that there's an iser to tell a lie, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Dover shkarim lo yikon l'neged einai. That someone who speaks a lie doesn't belong in the presence of the Ribbono shel Olam and is not doing the right thing. Aval kishakari b'torah l'mechzi kishukra. But if you're stam, leaning from the Torah, or you're reading, you're learning, that's not mechzi kishukra. It's all about the context. Why does Rashbam quote a pasuk in Tehillim? Why not Midvar Sheker Tirchak? Yeah, what's wrong with Midvar Sheker Tirchak? So, what? So there is a discussion in Achronim The Isser to tell a lie, is this an Isser ben Adam l'chavero, or is this an Isser ben Adam l'atzmo? Meaning when a person, we normally think of averos as ben Adam and mitzvos as ben Adam l'makom, ben Adam l'chavero, but there's a third category of ben Adam l'atzmo. Ben Adam l'atzmo is essentially a category of midos, that a person is supposed to become a refined person. Mahu afata, one should imitate the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, mahu rachum, afata rachum, mahu chanun, afata chanun. That's the notion of Bein Adam La'atzmo. So there's a chakira in the Achronim. When a person tells a lie, what is he violating? Is it only a violation of Bein Adam L'chavero, that I'm telling a lie to you and therefore I'm misleading you, so I'm doing something wrong to you? Or is it even something fundamentally inherent about myself, that Bein Adam La'atzmo, by telling a lie, I'm ruining my own midos? Nafkamina would be if I'm telling a lie that is harmless, that doesn't hurt anybody. I meet a total stranger and he says, what's your name? And I'm going to have no ongoing relationship with him, so I just make up a name, because Aryeh is a hard name for Goyim to pronounce. So I say my name is Dave, and he not harmless. There's no victim of that lie. Or, for example, I lie to nobody in particular. I sit in front of a mirror and I just start telling myself that I'm 6'2" and that I have a full head of hair and that I just lie to nobody in particular. So there's no victim of that lie, but Ben Adam La'atzmo, it's certainly not good midos. Now over here, who's the person lying to? He's bringing Bikurim, and he's saying, this is from the land that he's hurting Hashem? He's hurting anybody else? There is no victim to this lie. In each of the cases in the Torah, where the Torah tells us not to lie, it's about Eidus and Beis Din, it's about really hurting somebody with your lie. That would be a lie Ben Adam L'chavero. L'chora Rashbam needs to come up with a case where it's a lie Ben Adam La'atzmo, where we see just being a Dover Shkarim, being someone who is untruthful, is fundamentally problematic. So the person is saying something that's not true, that's fundamentally problematic because of the Bein Adam La'atzmo element. In fact, there is a discussion in the Rishonim whether this Isser of Sheker is an Isser min HaTorah or only an Isser Midrabanan. It's interesting that in the Torah, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, the Achronim also are bothered by that Lashon. Normally when the Torah wants to give a Losa, say, Hishamer, Pen, Al, Lo, there are certain Lashonos that we use for a Losa, say, Tirchak is not a typical Lashon to express a los assay. So some suggest that tirchak means that it's even stronger than a regular los assay. That if you look in the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, the Gemara gives like 10 examples or 12 examples of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and none of them are blatant lies. They're all somewhat dishonest, somewhat misleading, that we need to go even further away when it comes to lying. Others say that no, Tirchak, it falls short of saying that it's an actual los assay. It's just a midah gerua. It's not a proper midah. But anyway, Tosa Rosh writes over here that the isser to tell the lie, the mechzi keshikra, would actually be a violation midah oraisa. Not all of the Achronim agree. The Shagas Aryeh, who typically disagrees with Rishonim, says that it's only an Isser Midrabanan over here, that the Mechzi Keshikra would not be a violation Midah Oraisa. But it is interesting that the Rashbam highlights the idea that you are reading Psukim, but it's a different context. And because of that context, that's what makes it problematic. The idea that psukim can serve and function in a different context and therefore be governed by different rules is an idea that is highlighted by Tamid Rabbein Yonah Maseches Brachos. Rabbein Yonah Maseches Brachos discusses the notion that Torah Shebichsav Yata Rashi Lamrim Balpeh, that Dvarim Shebichsav, when you have psukim, you're not allowed to say psukim by heart, just like you're not allowed to take Torah Shebalpeh and write it down, if not for Eis Lasol Sashem Eferos or Sechad, then they have to write down the Torah. But we're still not allowed to say Dvarim Shebichsav Balpeh. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, that's when we're talking about something that's just purely psukim as psukim. But when you have psukim that also serve a different function, they serve for a mitzvah of some other sort, so those psukim are not subject to the isra of Dvarim Shebichsav Yata Rashi Lamrim Balpeh. For example, if I wanted to say right now, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, that's fine. I just said a pasuk by heart. Yeah, but those psukim of the Birch's Kohanim are also used in a different context. that are also used in the context of Birchas Kohanim. So one would suggest that the same would be true of Mikra Bikurim. Because there is this other context where you're doing another mitzvah using these psukim are excluded from the iser of Dvar Meshebech Savi Atarash Olam Bal Peh. That Rabbeinu Yonah became somewhat famous because of one of the examples that he gives of psukim that are used to fulfill a different mitzvah. He gives the example of Birchas Kohanim. He gives the example of Kriyas Shema. That would certainly make sense. Psukim in the Torah that you're using to fulfill different mitzvah. And then he says, and also the Parshas HaTamid, the Parshios of the Karbanos, that when a person says Karbanos each and every day, he is not Stam reading from the Torah. He is fulfilling a mitzvah of bringing karbanos. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, but we, in the Shalma Parm Sfaseinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, don't worry, even when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, your children are going to be able to say the karbanos, and through that get credit as if they brought the karbanos. That's a mitzvah. That's as if we actually brought karbanos. It's a kiyum d'oraisa, perhaps, when one recites karbanos. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, one is allowed to recite those psukim bal peh. Mariv Rabbi Rav Shachter loves to quote that Rabbeinu Yonah in pointing out that saying karbanos each and every day is probably more important than saying psukei dezimra. Because psukei dezimra, there's no doubt, is only midrabanan. But karbanos, according to this Rabbeinu Yonah, may be a kiyum d'oraisa of bringing karbanos, at least the major ones, at least when it comes to the tamid and the ketores, the certain things that were brought every day. Okay, so anyway, that was one answer of the Gemara. What do you lose when you say the parsha of the Bikurim? It's just psukim. No, what you lose is it looks like you're telling a lie. That's the problem. Rav Shash Brei Rav Chiya Amar Dilma Asi Lafku Inu Mitruma Umaiser. That we're afraid that if you do business as usual, you bring these bikurim the same way you bring bikurim when you have a vadei chiyuv, so people will assume, or you yourself might assume, today in the Rashbam, whether it's other people or you yourself, might assume that this is regular bikurim, and as regular bikurim, they're not chayiv in Trumas Umaisros. And we don't want to give that impression that they're not chayiv in Trumas HaMaisros, because as we learned yesterday, since there is Safek Bikurim, you do need to take care of Trumas HaMaisros. You have to be careful what you do with it. Make sure everything goes to a Kohen, but you still need to take care of Trumas HaMaisros. So we have to do it in an unusual way so that people will recognize that this is not the regular mitzvah, and they'll therefore treat it differently, which is very interesting. The Arsameach points out, you know, you find something similar in Maseches Beitza, where the Gemara tells us that you don't do Kisui Hadam on Yom Tov on a dam of a Safik Chaya, Safik Behema. There's a certain type of animal. We know the Halach of Kisui Hadam. When you shecht an animal, you only do Kisui Hadam. We only cover the blood. We still do this nowadays on a Chaya or an Oath. So if you ever go watching the shecht chickens, that's the most common case, they do kisui adam at the end of the day. After hours and hours of shechting thousands of chicken, there's blood everywhere, and they do a mitzvah of kisui adam. They say a bracha, and they cover it with dirt. But on a behema, there's no mitzvah of kisui adam. If you're shechting a lamb or a cow, there's no mitzvah of kisui adam. What if you're shechting something that's a safek chaya, safek behema, somewhere in between, you're not sure what it is? So then the halacha normally is you would do kisei adam misafek, because it's a safek d'oraisa l'chumra. But, says the Gemara in Beitza, if it's Yom Tov, and you shech something that's safek chaya, safek behema, don't do kisei adam, because people might think that it's a vadai chaya. People will make the assumption that it's a vadai chaya, and therefore, if they make the assumption that it's a vadai chaya, it's going to come out a big kula. Because the halacha is the chaylev of a behema is aser, the chaylev of a chaya is mutter. The forbidden fats are forbidden on a behema, but are in fact permitted on a chaya. So what do you see from there, says Yar Samech? It's the same notion. We're mevatel a safek mitzvah, lest one violate a safek iser. Here you have a safek mitzvah kisei adam, we're mevatel that safek mitzvah, lest one violate a safek iser, lest they eat the chaylev, which may or may not be aser. We don't know if it's a chay or behema. Says Yar Samech, same thing going on over here. Here you have a safek mitzvah of mikra bikurim. Don't do it. Be mevatel that safek mitzvah, lest one violate a safek iser of eating tevel, of allowing the kohanim to eat the bikurim without being mafrish Shrumos and Maestros. So he says that's what emerges from here, that a suffik mitzvah, we can ignore a suffik mitzvah for the sake of avoiding a suffik iser. He says that you also see that the chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros over here is midaraisa, that it must be that the chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros is midaraisa, because there's no way we would be mevatel a suffik mitzvah da'oraisa to save people from a suffik iser midrabanan, that we wouldn't do. So it must be that the Trumas and Maestros issue over here is an issue midaraisa. This is where all the action is on the daf. So just one more ha'ara before we move on. The Gemara Maseches Brachos has a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If, let's say, a person, yavash hamayin v'niktzat ilan, a person picks his fruits from a tree, the water source of the tree dries up, the tree falls down, the tree is chopped down, and then you bring the bikurim. So you're bringing fruits from a tree that no longer exists. It's not where it was in your land. The land was yours, the tree was yours, everything was yours. But the tree no longer exists. So there's a machlokas in Maseches Brachos when, according to the Chachamim, you're not korei, because the ilan is also the karka. So you can't say that I'm bringing from the karka that I have, because it's not from karka that you have anymore. The ilan is gone, so you don't have the tree anymore. You can't say, min adama asher nasateli. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, primarily a fruit is nourished not from the tree itself, but from the ground in which the tree grows. And therefore, min adama asher nasateli is perfectly fine. You still have that ground. Says the Gemara in Brachos, this machlokas relates to a halacha of birchas hanen. Let's say you take an apple, and instead of saying bari pri ha'etz, you say bari pri ha'adama. Are you yotze b'diavad with the bari pri ha'adama? Well, it depends. If you view all of the nourishment of that apple to be from the tree itself, then bari pri ha'adama is inaccurate. It's not. It's min ha'etz only. It's bari pri ha'etz. But if you assume that primarily it comes from the ground, that the nourishment comes from the ground, it's not the best way to say the bracha, but still, at least b'diavad, the bar pri adama will work. The problem is the Shitas HaRambam. The Gemara makes that explicit connection. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Bikurim that when it comes to Bikurim, if a person is bringing fruits from a tree that no longer exists, you cannot read the Parshas Bikurim. Implying what? That we view the fruit as fruits of the tree, not fruits of the ground. In Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam paskins, if on a pri ha'ilan, on an apple, you say bari pri adama, yatza, you yotze the bracha. So it's a stira in the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim and Hilchos Brachos. So some of the Acharonim, the Kesem Mishnah already notes the stira, some of the Acharonim suggest that perhaps the Rambam was mesupak, he wasn't sure. So what, if I said a bracha and I'm not sure if it was if I was yotze with that bracha, do I recite another bracha? Savi brachos lahakel. So you don't recite another bracha. But when it comes to the mikra bikurim, maybe misafek, one can recite one does not recite mikra bikurim, as we see from our Gemara.
Maybe that's the point of the Rashbam, that the Rashbam is bringing this particular pasuk, not mikra sheker shekhar, because we're not really talking about a sheker. We're talking about the mechzik shekhar. The guy who's speaking, that knows he doesn't have the land. But the mechzik shekhar, so the Rashbam brings this pasuk to say that maybe when you're coming to the Shemitash, when you bring a bikurim, negit aina, you don't even want to have mechzik shekhar.
He's saying it's a mechzik shekhar, not a mamash shekhar, because it's right. Only a mamash shekhar if you believe yourself.
Correct. If you, the Gemara is not saying that it's a shekhar. The Gemara is saying mechzik shekhar.
I'm not sure if that's true. The it's only mamash shekhar if you.
You're reading a pasuk, right?
Yeah.
You're not saying it from your own words.
Ah, okay. It's meaning in your mind, you're just saying the pesukim. So if you're just saying the pesukim, that's not a shekhar.
The Gemara is not saying mishum that's shekhar. The Gemara says mechzik shekhar.
Mechzik shekhar, because for other people it looks like, right. And that's what Rashbam is saying with the context.
Maybe this particular pasuk, because maybe mechzik shekhar, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, there's an extra iser, that you can't even get appearance in the Beis HaMikdash, is also important.
Right.
And maybe that's what the Rambam is saying for the same reason.
Maybe that's what the Rambam is saying as well.
Because when you come to the Beis
so you can't be Kare because of the Mechzik HaShikra reason.
Right. As a problem to real Shekhar, as a point to real, when you make the Bracha, Baruch Hu Dama, Baruch Hu Eitz, then it's the real Shekhar that counts.
Meaning that since the tree no longer exists, to say it would be Mechzik HaShikra. To say that it comes from, but still, it still does come from the Adama. Meaning, I hear that in the Rashbam. In the Rambam, it's harder because the Gemara makes that explicit connection between the tree, the relationship of tree and ground with regard to brachos and with regard to bikurim. Okay, says the Gemara further. Higdilu lo yishafa. The Mishnah went on to say that if I purchase trees in someone else's property and I don't own any property because I only bought two trees, so I only own the trees, and they start overgrowing in beyond where they were before, the guy who owns the property can't tell me to cut down those trees. And then the Mishnah said, whatever grows out of the stump of those trees, I'm allowed to keep, and whatever grows out of the shrushim, out of the roots, belongs to the balakarka. So ask the Gemara, hechidami mina geza. What does it mean, grows out of the stump of the tree? Vehechidami mina shrushim, versus growing out of the roots. How do I know what's called growing out of the stump and growing out of the roots of a tree? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, very simple. Kol sharoa pnechama, zeu mina geza. If it sees sunlight, meaning it's above ground, it's above the ground level, that's called from the stump of the tree. V'sheinara pnechama, if it's growing underground, zeu min hashrashin, that's from the roots of the tree. Ask the Gemara, v'lechush dilma muska ara sirton, v'amr le'tchasas vinasli v'isli ara, an unbelievable chashash, the Gemara says. If anything that grows out of the stump of the tree, I'm allowed to keep there, and I'm allowed to let it continue to grow because I own the tree, shouldn't we be concerned that some dirt is going to fly up onto this land and cover up parts of the tree where instead of looking like three different branches growing out of the stump, it's now, because it's covered in dirt and the ground level is going to be raised, it's now going to look like three different trees. And once it looks like three different trees, I could say, aha, look, I own three trees here. And once you own three trees, you also own the karka. So I'll be able to falsely claim that I own the karka because it's going to look like I own three trees. And the Rashbam says, but wait a second, we're going to have at the end of the daf a discussion about the distance between the trees in order to own the karka. So we have to be assuming that the way these branches are growing and the way the dirt covers up is in such a way where they're actually the right distance from each other. It's an unbelievably far-fetched chashash, seemingly, that that's what we're concerned is going to happen. If I allow my branches to grow out of the geza, out of the stump, that some, I remember Hurricane Sandy, when everything, what used to be dry land is now full of fish, and what used to be, so some massive clump of dirt is going to go in such a way where it's now going to look like three trees that are just the right distance from each other, and I'll be able to falsely claim that I own the land. Ella Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, no, we're not telling you that you're allowed to leave those trees growing, rather, yikots. They belong to you. You have to cut them down right away and take home those branches, whatever is growing out of the stump. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan, yikots. Rav Yochanan says the same thing. Amar Rav Nachman, nekatinan dekel ein lo geza. Rav Nachman makes this cryptic comment that a dekel doesn't have geza. It doesn't have any regrowth from its stump. Savra Zid the Meimar, so Zid thought, what does he mean by that? He's just saying a botanical fact that a dekel doesn't regrow? So Rav Zvid thought that, no, he's teaching a halacha. Ein lo geza lebal dekel. That an owner of a dekel tree is not entitled to the geza. To what normal trees, whatever grows from the stump, whoever owns the tree can keep it for himself. Not by a dekel tree. Why? Since ultimately this tree is supposed to be uprooted, I don't own the karka along with the tree, I only own the tree. So ultimately we're going to take out this tree entirely. I never have in mind that I'm ever going to be able to get anything from the geza of this tree. Because if this tree dries out, we learned about how low you should cut down a tree that dries out to allow it to replenish. And by a dekel tree, entirely. You cut it out entirely. It's never going to replenish. So you never plan on having it replenish. You're masiach das. A person assumes that he's never going to get anything out of it. Maskevlar of Papa va kona shnei ilanos. Yeah, but in our Mishnah we said that if you buy two trees, you don't own any of the land. You only own the trees. So ultimately, when those trees dry out, what are you going to do? You're going to have to pull them out of the ground. So there's never going to be a point where they replenish themselves. And yet, what does the Mishnah say? That if it grows out of the stump, you're entitled to that. Yesh lo geza. You're entitled to whatever grows from there. So how can you say, and the Rashbam adds, Mistama, our Mishnah is talking about all kinds of trees. even a dekel tree, every kind of tree. So why would our Mishnah say that yesh lo geza on something that ultimately you plan on uprooting? Ela amrav papa, ein lo geza lebal dekel lefisha ein motzi geza. It's not because ultimately this tree is going to have to be uprooted that we say you give up on any replenishment that the stump is going to grow. No, the reason you're giving up on it is because it's totally abnormal for a dekel tree to replenish itself. The way a dekel tree grows, the Rashbam says, we've already learned a lot of facts that we never thought we'd be interested in about dekel trees. We've already learned that it grows way high up and that you need to go bechevel in order to get the fruits of a dekel tree. Nothing grows down low. So that's what we're saying. It's so abnormal for anything to grow out of the stump of a dekel tree. That's why you're Masiach Das. Not because you're going to have to be mashrish, you're going to have to uproot it. In our Mishnah, yeah, ultimately if it dries out, you're going to have to uproot it. But in the meantime, it's still Motzi Geza, it still replenishes. But over here, by a dekel tree, you're never planning on it replenishing itself. Ulrazvid Kasha Masnisin. What's Rav Zvid going to do with our Mishnah? Why haven't you completely given up on the dekel tree? Dizavin the Chameshnin. No, we're assuming that you had sold it for 5 years. That even if it dies, let's say 2 years into your 5 year purchase of that dekel tree, you're entitled to plant another one in its place. And that's why the Mishnah says you're entitled to the Geza. That it's true. Something you're going to uproot permanently, you're Masiach Das. You never have any plans of getting anything that's replenished. But something that, even when it's uprooted, you're allowed to replant. So of course you're thinking about whatever you can grow in that location, about gaining ownership of whatever you can grow in that location. Okay, two dots at the bottom now. Kana shlosha kana karka. We had said that if you purchase 3 trees in someone else's property, you not only own the trees, you also own the karka along with the trees. Vikama. So what does that mean? How much karka do you own along with those trees? I buy 3 trees from you that are a few amos away from each other, and it's in the middle of this expansive field with a mansion on the property, and so I now own the mansion and the field and everything. I own everything? The kama, there's got to be some limit. What exactly do I own? So I'm Rav Chiya bar Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan, Hareza kana tachtehen. You certainly own whatever's directly underneath the branches of the tree. Ube nehen, and in between the trees, v'chutzalehen kemlo oravisalo. And the circumference around the tree, you own the amount of space it takes to walk around with your basket as you're pulling fruit off of the tree. You shouldn't have to pull fruit off of the tree while standing under the tree. You should be able to stand next to the tree. So however much space it takes to stand as you're pulling fruit off of the tree, that's how much karka you own in that property. Kimlo Ora Visalo. This is interesting because we had earlier in the second paragraph of this Masechta where Ula commented that if you have a tree right near the border of your property, you don't bring Bikurim from such a tree because that tree is being yonek from your neighbor's property. It's getting nourishment from your neighbor's property for up to 16 amos. So the Gemara is going to ask, the Gemara did ask, on Ula from the Mishnah that if you buy Shnei Ilanos, you may vive Nukare, but if you buy 3 Ilanos, you may vive Kare, even though you're right near the Sada of the Mocher, even though you're only getting the Melo Oravisalo, you're right near the, beyond the Oravisalo, is right next to the Mocher's property. So the Gemara suggested that that your kona gimli lanos, your kona tes zayin ama in every direction. So Tosa says, but wait, what happened to Melo Oravisalo? That's a lot less than tes zayin amos. So no, the tes zayin amos is measured from the trunk of the tree. The Melo Oravisalo is from where the branches end. So if the branches extend even more than tes zayin amos, you still get the additional Melo Oravisalo, the amount of space that it takes to be walking around with your basket outside of the circumference of the tree. So Maskva Reb Lazar, Hashta Derech Inla. Reb Lazar says, I don't understand this. you buy three trees in someone else's property, you're not even entitled to a derech. You're not even entitled to an automatic right to walk through the property to get to your tree. You have to purchase the right to walk through the property to get to your tree. So if you're not even entitled to a derech, hasha derech in lo, or of a seller yesh lo, you're going to get this extra space around the tree to walk around with your basket? It can't be. If you're not even entitled to a derech, why would you be entitled to Orav Esalo? Answers Gemara, derech ein lo, da'ara achritihi. Orav Esalo yesh lo. You don't get a derech because that's already considered someone else's property. That's already considered a separate land. That's not directly related to the tree. The Orav Esalo is part of the tree. You purchase the tree, the Orav Esalo becomes part of that purchase. Amar Rabbi Zeira, midivar Rabbeinu Nilmad. So Rabbi Zeira comments, just from Rabbi Lazar's Kilu Hesichas Chulin, you know, Rabbi Lazar says, I can't even believe it. You don't even get a derech. How could you get the Orav Esalo? Why are you assuming you don't get a derech? Why are you assuming when you buy a tree, when you buy three trees, that you're not entitled to a derech? Ooh, from Rabbi Lazar we could see, Shloshu Dein Lo Derech Hashnayim Yeshlo, that if you buy three trees, you're not entitled to a derech. But if you buy two trees, you are entitled to a derech. Why? Damrei Ba'aridach Kaimim. Because what was the whole argument why you're not entitled to a derech when you buy three trees? The guy who sold you the tree says, you already got your land. You got the trees, you got the land around it. You can't start taking from my land. But when you sold two trees, he didn't get any land. And adrabah, as we learned yesterday, when I sell two trees, in a certain sense, I'm putting myself in a weaker position. Granted, I'm not giving you any land, but I'm being mishabed all of my land for whatever use you need it for. And therefore, if I sell you two trees, I'm being mishabed my land to be used as a derech. Another thing that emerges from Rabbi Lazar is that he must disagree with his Rebbe Shmuel. Because Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Akiva that when you sell something, you're selling something with a spirit of generosity. And therefore, if I sell you trees, I'm also giving you automatically the right to access those trees, the derech to get to those trees. Rabbi Lazar is making an assumption that that's not true. Rabbi Lazar says, oh, you don't even get a derech. How could you possibly get Melo Orav Esalo? So he's assuming you don't even get a derech. Rabbi Akiva would say, not true, you do get a derech. The fact that Rabbi Lazar is making that assumption shows you that Rabbi Lazar doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Amalei lo metukim masnisan Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't tell you what Rabbi Lazar paskins. It tells you how Rabbi Lazar understood our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar understood that our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Lazar says, according to our Mishnah's way of thinking, that you're not going to get a derech, why do you get Melo Orav Esalo? If you were to ask me, I would pass like Rabbi Akiva. You do get a derech, and I wouldn't be bothered. But the Mishnah assumes you don't get a derech. The only thing is, the Mishnah never mentioned a word about a derech. How can Rabbi Lazar see, in the words of our Mishnah, that you don't get a derech, but you do get Melo Orav Esalo? Mishnah never said you don't get a derech. Rabbi Lazar is assuming, oh, from the Mishnah it's clear you don't get a derech. Mimai? Answers the Gemara, Midiktani Higdilu Yishafa. From the fact that it said that if it overgrows, you can cut down the mocher, can cut down the branches that are growing too much into his property. But if you hold that a mocher is always selling ba'ayin yafa, he's giving whatever he can give, he's giving the derech, he's giving you whatever it is you need, why would he be entitled to start cutting down your branches that are growing more than his liking? I thought you're always being generous, and if you sold the tree and the property, let him have whatever he wants, let him have, let the tree grow, let it grow uninhibited. So Amalei says, no, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between the generosity when I sell the tree that I'll allow the person access to the tree versus the generosity that when I sell the tree, I'll allow that tree to grow uninhibited and to grow all over my land. Big difference between the two. Eimer dam Rabbi Akiva gabe bar vidus lo makshi ara. Rabbi Akiva says you sell with a spirit of generosity in the sense that, as long as it's not going to ruin my land, I'm happy to be as generous as I possibly can. You want to walk through, you want to get the bar, the dust, fine. Gabe ilan mishamatei. But your tree is going to block all the sunlight from my plants that I'm trying to grow? That's going to ruin everything. Your tree's going to be dropping. You ever have a fruit tree in your yard, and the kind of bugs that it brings, and it starts dropping rotten fruits all over the place? Your tree's going to do that to my land? No, thank you. That's already hurting me. That generous, yes, but crazy, no. I'm willing to be generous up to a point. Milo modi Rabbi Akiva bi'ilan anot l'tok stei chavero. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that if your tree hovers over into your neighbor's property, shekotz et mlo mardeya mal gabe macharisha, that your neighbor is allowed to chop away the branches enough that when he's working with his animals around his own property, he should be able to reach up to hit the animals to move, that he should have enough space to be able to fit all of his equipment under the branches. So he's allowed to cut away your branches. Nowadays, it usually, the question is not, is he allowed to? The question is more, who has to pay for the cutting of the branch? You know, you say it was understood in the times of the Gemara, oh, what's the big deal? You cut away some branches. Now it's hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars sometimes when it comes to, so now the whole shaila is like turned on its head. It's not about entitlement to cut away. Everyone wants it away. Everyone wants to cut it away. The question is, who's going to have to pay to cut it away? You know, the Gemara assumes, yeah, so you'll cut away the encroaching branches. But sometimes that is a big deal. Tanya kavasid Rabbi Chiya Baraba. We have a Bryce that says, just like Rabbi Chiya Baraba, that you're entitled to the circumference around the tree, kimlo or v'salo, because it says, hareza kana tachtehen, ubeinehen, v'chutzlen kimlo or v'salo. Exactly what Rabbi Chiya Baraba said, that you own the area underneath the tree, between the trees, and the circumference around it, the amount of space you need to carry around your basket. Amle abay le Rav Yosef, osan or v'salo mizoron. New question. We said that when I buy three trees, I'm entitled to the land immediately around, the circumference around the tree. Am I allowed to start planting things there? You know, the idea of me getting that area around the tree so I can walk around my basket and pick fruits off the tree. Let's say I decide, you know what, I always wanted to try my hand at planting vegetables. So here I now have a perfectly fertile spot to plant some vegetables. Can I decide I'm going to plant vegetables around that area? Use it for whatever I want. I'm going to set up a carnival there. I'm going to set up, you know, whatever I want. Can I just use that spot for whatever I want? Do I really own it? Or is it that I'm entitled to use it? And the same by the mocher. The mocher, yeah, he has to let me walk around picking the fruits off the tree with my basket. What if the mocher decides, yeah, okay, I'll let you walk around there, but I also want to plant vegetables there. Is he permitted to do that?
Who's so, responsible for insurance?
Okay, that too, right? Meaning, who's the real owner is really what it boils down to. The outer one, meaning the mocher, this is quoting from a different source, that from a different Mishnah, that achitzon zorea esaderech, that even though I have to let, even in a situation where I have to allow you passage through my property, I'm still allowed to plant on that path. I have to let you, it may be crazy of me to plant on that path because you'll step on it and I have to let you step on it, but I'm still allowed to plant in that path. It may be annoying to you that I've planted there because you're going to have to like step a little higher to step over or to step on all the things I planted, but I'm allowed to plant there. So over here as well, the mocher should be allowed to plant in the area around the tree. Amrle mi dami. So no, you can't compare the two. Hasam lesle pseidu lelokeach. The lokeach loses nothing when you plant in the path that he's going to walk through. Aval hacha islei pseidu lelokeach. But if the mocher, if the owner of the field plants that area right around the tree, the guy who bought the tree is going to ultimately lose out. Because when you plant a garden, it's not just planting some seeds, it's fertilizer, it's dirt, it's soil. What's going to happen? Fruits are going to fall off my tree. They're going to land plop right into the fertilizer. It's going to ruin all my fruits. By you planting there, it's a pseudo lokech. It's a loss to the lokech. Domelei komitan fipiri. He could say, you're ruining all of my fruits. Halodamya elalaseifa. If you want to compare our case of the area right around the tree and who's allowed to plant there with some other case, you should compare it to that seifa of the same Mishnah, where it talks about when they mutually agree on a derech off to the side of the field that doesn't really belong to anyone, and we say zeh vazeh Einon Rasha in Lazara. Neither of them are allowed to plant that area. Even though it is only a minor inconvenience if you plant that area, because the people that are going to walk through may have to step a little higher, only a minor inconvenience, still, nobody is allowed to plant that area. And therefore, in our case, where it would be a major inconvenience, you certainly are not allowed to plant that area. Tanya kavasi da baye hareza kana tachtein ubenein v'chutzlan kumla or v'salo v'zeh v'zeh einan rashal nizora. And we have an explicit brisa that nobody is allowed to plant that area. Then one final question for today's daf. V'kama yehe b'nehen. We keep talking, you buy three trees, you get the property as well. How far space do these trees, should these trees be from each other to entitle you to the land in between them? See, if trees are just bunched together, so that's not a sustainable situation. If they're bunched very closely together, they're not meant to be omed. They're meant to be cut down. And therefore, you wouldn't be entitled to any land. If trees are very distant from each other, I own 100 miles of land, and I plant one tree at one end of the property, another one at the other end, another one 50 miles. So what, you own all the property in between? Hard to imagine. There's got to be some number that we work on that we say those trees are properly spaced to the point that they can exist like that, it can be sustained, and it's considered a stay ilanos. That is a field of trees. So what is that that spacing? So says the Gemara, machlokas, as one would have suspected. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Shmuel, me arba amos vat shmona. That it's between 4 and 8 amos in between them. That's the spacing. Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, mi shmona viad shesh esrei. It's 8 to 16 amos between them. Amle Abayil Rav Yosef, lo tiflo galei. What? Oh, I imagine between each tree. Yeah, I think so. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, lo tiflo galei de Rav Nachman, ditnan masnisen kavasei. Don't disagree with Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Nachman was the one who said 8 to 16, because we have a Mishnah just like him. Ditnan, the Mishnah says, hanotea es karmo sheish esrei ama, al sheish esrei ama, mutr lahavi zera l'sham. If you plant your vineyard and you keep the vines 16 amos away from each other, then you can plant something else in between. Because they're considered, once they're more than 16 amos away from each other, they're considered in a total separate vicinity. So you can plant something else in between, because that something else is not going to be a problem of kilei akerem. So you see, that's the magic number that we're working with. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue that discussion of the distance, the proper distance between trees in order to entitle a person to the land in between.